Are the Golden State Warriors and Steph Curry all the way back? Is this the last chance for Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum in Boston to win a title? And the NBA is just better when the Knicks are relevant. This is Hoop Talks. What is up, everybody, and happy Monday. This is Hoop Talks. Jelani Goodridge, Justin Pooney. Noor Zainab is on vacation.
That's right.
I think Vegas, right?
Vegas. She's outside.
Yeah, she's outside. She wasn't at the tank and Ryan Garcia
fight. No, she wasn't. I was looking for her. I knew
she wasn't going to be there. She thought it was a UFC fight the day before.
Oh, damn.
Anyway, Noor will be back on Wednesday. So now, Jelani, let's just dive right into it. Crazy weekend in the NBA, crazy weekend across the land in the association. The Golden State Warriors.
Yes.
By the skin of their teeth, defeated the Sacramento Kings. To even the series up, I did predict once they went down 0-2 that they would win four straight. And look, hey.
You did say that.
It's looking kind of nice. But I want to talk, because of course today is the Ballers Club. I want to talk about Steph Curry. He is my first baller. Steph last night, 11 for 22, 5 3-pointers, 32 points. So Jelani, my question to you is this. After what you've seen the last two games from the Warriors, are they back and are they now the favorite to come out of the West?
I think the game where Draymond didn't play, that was basically the game where Steve Kerr figured out, how do we beat these guys, right? And now that Draymond came back, the energy was there. Obviously, he helped the guys out. Steph, we know what to expect from Steph Curry this time of year. So I was not shocked. I know what happened late, okay, with the timeout looking like Weber.
Chris Weber, Michigan.
Yeah, in that championship.
Sorry. That was against Carolina, wasn't it?
It was. Yeah. So we always thank him. Thank you, Chris. But yeah, he did that, right? But throughout the game, Steph was Steph. Mm-hmm. But I do think that game three, where Draymond wasn't there, they did win that game, obviously, kept their season alive. Because if they drop that, obviously, 3-0, you're down, you're going to be out. But they figured out a way, the game plan, how to set it up. So now the question is, can they go to Sacramento? They have to win in Sacramento to move on. So that's the question.
And I think, going back to that time, Steve Kerr took all the blame for that, I guess, because they challenged the, I think it was one of the Kevon Looney
fouls. They should not have challenged that.
They should have challenged it, but they challenged it, and then they lost track of timeouts. But there's assistant coaches there that should know that there are timeouts, right? And what the timeout situation is. And nobody relayed that to Steph Curry. I get it. Steph's in the zone. He's probably not be paying attention to all the challenges and stuff like that. But still, you have to make sure that your best player knows what the timeout situation is like, especially in the end of games.
Yeah.
Draymond Green came off the bench. He, played very well. Draymond last night actually filled 31 minutes, 3 for 14 shooting, which was kind of garbage. But, 6 for 6 from the free throw line.
Right.
10 rebounds, 7 assists, 1 steal, 1 block, 12 points. Draymond affected all. And then, of course, he played that defense on De'Aaron Fox at the end of the game, forcing him to pass the ball up to Harrison Barnes. And one thing I will say, before I pass to you about Draymond's performance, the one thing I want to say about that is, why in the NBA is it so necessary for people to jack up threes when you're only down one?
That's a very good question.
Like, Justin, you can go for two. You can drive it to the lane, get a higher percentage shot.
Right.
Right? And I get the time was running out and stuff like that, Harrison Barnes could have taken another step or two inside, got an easier look, or even drawn a foul and, gone to the line.
No, I see that all the time. Like, even Doris Burke was mentioning it. Like, why are you rushing this, right? Mm-hmm. And it was a step back, Jay. From downtown, it wasn't a good look. And then even a couple of possessions before, we had Malik Monk on a fast break. He could have settled it down. Like, I know it's less than a minute left, right? But it could have settled it down. But he wanted to, put up a two, right? A layup.
Mm-hmm.
But it was highly contested. Two guys right there. So I think at times, I think guys just lose their way. They see that there's less than a minute left. I get it. Threes more than two.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you got to be smart about it, right?
Yes.
So I think a lot of the time, we see it every game. People jack up random threes. But I think the Kings at the end of that game, they did show me how they could win, right? Mm. And they got the clutch player of the year.
They were down by a big number, and they kept on coming back and coming back and coming back. And credit to them. The Sacramento Kings have impressed me a lot this playoff run, especially De'Aaron Fox.
Yes.
38 points last night. He had 9 rebounds, 5 assists. He only had 3 turnovers too, and the ball's in his hands a lot. De'Aaron Fox and Steph Curry have been trading blow for blow. It's like watching a heavyweight fight, right? The way these two guys have been going at it, it has been must-see TV. And again, it's Steph Curry. It's hard to get one up on him. And again, I think the Warriors, if they can go in to Sacramento and win a road game, Jelani, it's curtains. It's game over.
They have to. I mean, they're going to have to eventually, right? Three games left. Two of them will be at Golden 1 Center.
Would you say that this is the best series so far?
Oh, yeah. Oh, there's no doubt. And that's the tough part about it is the injuries, you know, to other series. You know, Phoenix and LA, that was looking nice, but now, no. But aside from maybe, like, the Knicks is just because of that aura and the crowd. We'll touch on that later. But it's definitely this one. This one's going to be a classic
series. Yeah, this one. And I think it's great because you have the dynastic team of this past decade, and a team that hasn't been in the playoffs, since 2006, since when our fellow colleague Albert Vartani graduated high school, right? That's how long it's been. And I think they're both Northern California.
Yeah.
The whole stomp added into it, all of that
this
stuff.
This could be, you know, a new rivalry.
It could be. Now it's going to have to continue on. Yeah, and I want to get, last thing with the Warriors is this, I want to get your opinion on this. I think this is Draymond's last year in Golden State, right? I think Bob Myers, we don't know what his situation is going to be like. Then if Bob Myers leaves, what happens with Steve Kerr? And I want to ask you, if they don't win the title, how different do the Golden State Warriors look next year?
A very good question. I think there will be changes. Obviously, you're going to keep a guy like Steph Curry, obviously. That's like, you wouldn't trade
Steph
Kobe Bryant.
Steph Warriors for life.
Yeah, you wouldn't trade Kobe Bryant after all those years with the Lakers, right? But I think if Myers leaves, right, there's going to be questions about Kerr. I think Kerr would stay, in my opinion, because, you know, he's been there for a long time. I don't think they want to move off of him. But then, yeah, Draymond, I think it's over. Whether they win it all or not, I think he's gone.
He's done.
I just think he's done. And he's going to be with his boy, LeBron James, in Los Angeles. We know what's going to happen. We know what's going to happen, right? And then you got the thing with Klay Thompson. He might want some more money. I don't know if they want to give him
that cash. I think Klay is safe in Golden State. He's that guy that him and Steph are the Splash Bros, right?
But unless he asks for too much.
But I don't think
has to be the right price.
Klay doesn't strike me as that guy, right? I think Klay wants to stay in the Bay Area with Steph. Those two guys are just going to be Warriors for life. Like, that's
what. And I think they should pick up somebody else, right? Because this group is good. But I still think there could be more.
Like, you know, like Ginobili and Duncan were Spurs for life. And yeah, Tony Parker kind of did his own thing. I see that the same thing. Steph and Klay will be Warrior for life. And then Draymond, he'll always be a Warrior, but he's going to finish his career elsewhere. Let's go down to the ATL, where the Boston Celtics avenged a Game 3 loss and came out with a 129-121 victory. Big win. The Atlanta Hawks actually had a great third quarter. And it looked like it was going to be a close game. But I want to talk about the Killer Jays, as I just anointed them. Not the Killer Bees, the Killer Jays. I'm talking about Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. Both had 31 points last night in the victory. Tatum was 8 for 20, not his most efficient night. While Jaylen Brown was a bit more efficient, 12 for 22. Again, I just think that Jason Tatum's been struggling from the three-point line a lot this second half of the season. And Jaylen Brown, you know, he's been more selective with the shot process. Think who else had a nice game. Marcus Smart had 19 points. Derek White had 18 points. Malcolm Brogdon had 14. Robert Williams at 13. So they got some nice balance, but they're, of course, led by the Killer Jays. Now, there's a lot of we're talking about the Warriors and a lot of question marks. There's a lot of question marks about Jaylen Brown, and is he happy in Boston? Yeah. If he doesn't get that All-NBA nod and get that super, super max eligibility, does he leave Boston after this year? Because he's been very public about how he doesn't really want to be around. And then if he leaves, this is really their last opportunity to win a title with these two guys.
Yeah, for sure. If he departs, then they're going to look a bit different, right? They're still going to have Tatum, but I think they're going to have to figure out a way to get somebody else in, you know, a star. But I think Jaylen stays, man. Despite the fact that the reports have been out about, you know, his willingness to probably leave and the fact that, you know, he doesn't always seem too happy about, you know, the Boston the environment there. I get that. But I do think he wants to win with Tatum. I truly believe that. And I remember a couple of years ago, a lot of people wanted one of these guys to be shipped off. I never felt that was smart. I felt like they should have kept these two together because I do believe they can win a championship together, right? So I think
they came a couple games short just last
year. Yeah, that's true. So I think they will stay together. I do think Jaylen Brown remains a Celtic. Now, if he does, you know, leave, If he does leave, I'm looking at the team he's playing right now.
The Atlanta Hawks. I think that would be perfect. He's an Atlanta guy.
I think
right?
it'd be a perfect spot for him, right?
Him and DeJounte.
You never know.
That's a backcourt there. That'll be very, very nice.
That's right. And the stuff, you know, about Trae Young probably moving off of him. I don't know I agree with
Trae Young in Boston with Jason Tatum.
Wow.
Wow. Look at us. We're just
giving these guys ideas.
I don't know if Trae Young would fit in Boston, though. I mean, New York fans would love it.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. But no, I think, you know, the overall theme here, I do think he stays there in Boston because they have something. They have something special here, and I think they can win. The East, it's them, it's Giannis, Embiid there too, but I think they got a shot.
I think, look, I'm a big believer in where there's smoke, there's a fire, and I think there's been a lot of smoke from Jaylen Brown about not wanting to be and not happy in Boston.
Fair.
I think him constantly being in trade rumors and him constantly being the guy, like whether it's the Kevin Durant trade or whatever possible trade package to get another star into Boston, always includes him. He's always the first guy to be mentioned to be shipped out of town. And I think he feels a certain type of way about that because it's very evident that the Celtics franchise belongs to Jason Tatum. Yeah. And Jaylen Brown, to his own right, is an all-star caliber player, all-NBA caliber player. There's a reason why he's going to be in line, if he does make all-NBA, to get a super, super max deal.
Right.
Does he maybe want to feel like, I want my own team? I want to change the scenery. I want to have more of a prominent role. Maybe. Right?
Because we've seen it with stars before.
We've seen it time and time again. And I think the biggest thing about Jaylen Brown is he's that guy, he's got supreme confidence. He might not say a lot in the media, but you see the way he plays. When he goes on the ice, the court. The court, he has that ultimate confidence, and when the ball's in his hand, he wants those last shots. He wants to be the guy in the big moments. And I think if things don't pan out in the playoffs this year for the Celtics, it might be he might just go to management. Hey, look, like, respect to all of you guys, had a great time here, but I want to try something more. I want to sink my teeth into something bigger. And I think this is a critical, critical playoff run for the Celtics because they want to maximize this duel because their days might be numbered.
I think if he does leave, I'm also looking at maybe Brooklyn. Could use a guy like that.
Toronto?
I would love him in Toronto.
Toronto?
Right? Because he's a shot creator. Yes, he's a guy that's a star, bona fide star. So I would look at that too, especially if Udoka comes in. Who knows?
We don't know.
But I think Jaylen Brown moving forward, he does want to win a ring, obviously. I do think his best opportunity is with Jason Tatum in Boston. They were nearly champions last year, and he actually did outplay Tatum.
He did in the finals last year.
I know Tatum had the injury and stuff, but whatever. But I think Jaylen Brown, I understand your point, though, with how he sees the value with Tatum and everybody talking about Tatum.
Mm-hmm.
He might, deep down, he might be feeling some type of way, which might push him out the door and move forward.
Yeah.
But, deep down, I think that he's going to be a Celtic.
Now, we're going to end off this segment on a happy note. The New York Knicks are 3-1 against the Cleveland Cavaliers. Go New York, go New York, go. And I got to say, Jelani, their fans are so lit. And I'm not even a Knicks fan, but just watching their fans turn up makes you want to become a Knicks fan and cheer for the Knicks fans. If you haven't seen, here's what they're up to yesterday afternoon.
Go, Spidey!
Don't you wait!
Don't you wish you came to
the
Jeez, man.
Of course, if you don't know, he's calling on Donovan Mitchell, Spider Mitchell.
Right.
Don't you regret not coming to the Knicks? Of course, that was the guy that made KD. Don't you regret not coming to the Knicks? Famous. Jelani, the NBA is just so much better when the Knicks are in the playoffs. They're winning in the playoffs and they're relevant. Mm-hmm. And there is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. The way that crowd, the garden is so electric. All the stars are out there. I will say this. If the Knicks are relevant and they're good, I'd much rather watch a game at MSG than the Crip anytime. People always talk about how LA has all the stars and stuff like that. New York, the Knicks haven't been good a lot lately, right? But once the Knicks are good, all those stars are going to be out at the Garden, and it's different. The vibe is different. The crowd is different. They're more into it. You know, the LA crowd is a lot more posh and a lot more quiet. That New York crowd is rowdy. They get on you. They believe in that team. They're chanting RJ. They're still chanting F. Trae Young. Like how many years later,
they're
right?
Playing him.
I love it. Jelani, your thoughts on the New York crowd, because you have ties to the New York area.
I do. I was there in January.
You were just there.
Yeah, and mom and we were talking about probably going back, around this time of year, but didn't happen, but should have. Because you're looking at this crowd, right? You're looking at just the aura of MSG. It's different.
Mm-hmm.
And you talked about Crip, and I don't even compare the two.
No,
because, like you said, the crowds are just different, right? Everyone's trying to feel nice in LA. You know, it's laid back. these guys
too cool for school.
Yeah,
type
it's basically that. Yeah, right. And I love when all the superstars are sitting courtside. Yeah. You know, in MSG, and the fans, you can hear them from the bottom to the top.
Yeah,
they're singing RJ Barrett's name. RJ Barrett. You're talking about Brunson, what he's done for that city.
Absolutely.
Hart as well. Hart. He's been one of the best pickups.
Isaiah Hartenstein. You know,
Hartenstein. So I love it, and I think, like you said, it's better when the Knicks are good. Mm-hmm. I look at the Knicks and the Bulls. Those are two teams that have to be relevant for the NBA to, you know, really succeed, I feel, right? So you never know. Right now, they're up 3-1.
Look, man.
You're up 3-1 right now. Next series, right? I know Giannis is coming back. You never know.
You never know what's going to happen.
If they play the Bucks, okay, they're going to lose.
But still, see Giannis in the Garden and playing.
And the fact that they would make the second round, they haven't made it in a decade.
When they played the Heat.
Yeah, this would only be the second time since that championship, you know, since they went to the finals in 99. So it's been a long time. They're starving. And that's why I love that scene out there, right? Yeah. There's like 8th Avenue. I was at a hotel on 9th. Yeah. It's not too far from there. Penn Station's popping right now. I love it.
Look. Me and Jelani might be at MSG on Friday night for Game 6. We could be. We might just blow a bag and be at MSG on Friday night to celebrate with the Knicks fans, and maybe we'll get posted up.
This guy will be in the Montclair.
Me and Spike Lee are going to be posted up courtside. Spike, what is it? Blue and orange skies?
Orange and blue.
Orange and skies. That's it.
Yes.
This has been Hoop Talks, everybody. We will catch you on Wednesday.
The Clippers are always injured. Injuries are happening left and right. And there's always a fraud out there. This is Hoop Talks. What's going on, everybody? It is your boy, Jelani Goodridge-Reed, here of Hoop Talks. And I'm joined with, obviously, Justin Pruny. No Noor today. Noor Zainab is in Las Vegas.
City of Sin.
Yeah, Sin City. She's vibing out with, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo.
I told her to go to the casino and put all the money on red for me. She refused to do that.
Really?
I was trying to get her to, you know, give me a bag and come back and basically wouldn't do it.
I feel that, man. I'm sorry.
No
friends in the industry. I say it all the time. Drake said that, actually. But Justin, there's so much happening in these playoffs, obviously. But let's go to LA.
Yes.
And no, I'm not talking about the Lakers. The Clippers, man. Man, more injuries for these guys. We obviously knew that Paul George wasn't going to be out there with his knee injury. And then Kawhi Leonard was not available for game 3. We thought that he'd be back for game 4. No, not the case. And it looks like he's probably done, right, with that knee. So, Justin, he did put up 38 and 31 in games 1 and 2.
Balling,
he was balling, right? But I want to get your take on this. The Clippers, just as a whole.
They're like, cursed.
What has happened?
They're cursed, man. That's as simple as that. The Clippers are a cursed franchise. And maybe it's because they play in the Staples Center and they're supposed to share a place with the Lakers and they'll never overcome that shell. Maybe when they go to the Inuit Dome and they have all those toilets, they can officially flush. They can flush all that, those bad omens from the Staples Center. Dude, the Clippers are cursed, man. Like Lob City, never Pando. Consistently playoff choking. This era of the Clippers, consistently injured, can never stay healthy. Kawhi Leonard looked like he was going to be 2019 Kawhi Leonard, one of the best players, if not the best player on the planet Earth, right? And he gets hurt. And the series is over. Russell Westbrook is basically carrying this team on his back.
Yeah.
And he's playing great, but the Phoenix Suns are way too good. And even if it was just Kawhi, I still think they would have a chance to win this series. And if Paul George was there, right, they would have probably won this series, but same thing, different year. Clippers can't stay healthy. There's no continuity. Their two best players are out injured, and they're going to be out of the playoffs sooner rather than later. And I think you really got to start considering, what are you going to do next? Because I don't think you can run it back with these two.
What should they do?
Honestly, like, do you explore a Paul George trade? Do you explore a Kawhi Leonard trade? Do you try to move off them and just not rebuild, but retool on the fly and get younger, get more, because we know they have no draft picks anymore.
That's right.
They have nothing, right? They have one of the best coaches in the NBA in Ty Lue. So, you know, he's going to coach and get the best out of whatever roster he's given. But I think it's time for the Clippers to pivot. Now, I know they want to keep these two superstars for when they move into that new stadium, and it's a selling point. But you got to look at the sustainability of this franchise. I don't know if you can continue to run these two guys out there if they can never stay healthy. And I think, does Kawhi Leonard consider retiring soon too? I think it's getting to that point because he can never stay healthy. He can never play a full season. He can't even play a full playoff round.
Yep.
And I think now it's time for the Clippers to have some serious questions, because you can't. The championship window is pretty much it's closed.
It's done.
It's done.
Yeah. And it's sad. It's sad to see this because they brought these guys together thinking they were going to win championships.
Moved Remember
those,
Earth.
Those commercials, like the commercials with Kawhi. This is my city. I'm the king. I got the crown, right? We never got to see them play the Lakers. That was due to a collapse, right, in the bubble, 3-1. But aside from that, like year after year, it's just nothing. Like
injuries.
Kawhi ACL in 21, then 22, no Kawhi. Mm-hmm. And then PG, he had his injury and COVID issues too. And then this year. So I think Steve Ballmer, he's obviously the richest owner in the league. He doesn't want to see this. He doesn't want to see.
He didn't pay $2+ billion for this.
So I truly believe this is one of the more, you know, this is one of the most, you know, these are the times where you could say the Clippers appear to be one of the more disappointing teams ever.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right? Not on the Brooklyn Nets level.
No.
But it's definitely been
a disappointment. But you got to put them in the conversation.
One conference final appearance.
Yeah, one of the most disappointing experiments that we've ever seen because this was supposed to be title contention year after year. And you've never got to see the full thing. Even when they went to the conference finals, Kawhi
got
there
in the conference finals.
So if you're asking me, I think the Clippers should definitely explore moving these guys.
I think that's the only way, right? It's going to be hard.
Yeah, because Kawhi money is a lie. He's old.
Yeah, Kawhi just signed to re-up his new...
Yeah,
but they both re-upped their new extension.
Yeah, so it's going to be tricky, but I think you got to explore and Paul George.
Just
as well.
On the name alone, you'll get a lot for Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. Maybe more for Paul George because he's got more of, you know, he's more reliable. He can play more. We don't know about Kawhi. But yeah, Jelani, just major disappointment with the Clippers.
Yeah, I feel bad for the Clips. I think you had the Suns as well, you know, even without these injuries. But again, I'm sorry, Noor. I know you're a Clippers fan. I know you love Kawhi, but it's over.
It's over.
It's over. 3-1. I expect the Suns to finish the job.
Just like the Easter Bunny. Dreams aren't real.
It's true. So. But let's move forward with these injuries and the discussion on injuries. There's so many, you know, outside of LA. Okay, let me give you the list of injuries so far these playoffs. We have Joel Embiid, knee. Giannis Antetokounmpo, he was hurt with his back. He's going to be back, though, game four. Has to be. They're down 2-1, right? Ja Morant, he had that hand issue. Then he dropped 45 on the Lakers. Wow. Okay. Kawhi Leonard, we mentioned him. PG, we mentioned him as well. But then Jimmy Butler, he also had lower body soreness. He's been playing through it. Tyler Hero, done. Broken and then, obviously, Victor Oladipo, I feel really bad for the guy, knee. So, Justin, with all these injuries, like, I just named off some of the best players in the league
right now. Probably the top, like, top two players in the NBA, I think, and Embiid and Giannis.
So,
right?
Have injuries ruined these playoffs?
You know
so far?
It is, man? I think load management has to do this. I think the fact that these guys save themselves for the playoffs and they try to ramp it up, their bodies aren't used to it, right? Your body can't go from 0 to 100 and expect to not, you know,
break down. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
And you look at it, right? You need to be playing, right, at a high level. You need to be playing consistently because if you have the, you know, Giannis didn't play at the last week of the season, right? Joel Embiid, he did play, but then he was resting as well. Jimmy Butler, I know he's probably going to play through it. Again, the Oladipo injury was a bit of a freak one. Yeah. Same with the jaw injury. But some of these injuries, man, it's just due to just resting and not playing and not having your body conditioned to be in game shape for a full 82 game season. And I think that's why the NBA had to put that in there, because I think once you see it a lot in football too, but the NFL is a lot more higher contact, especially in basketball though. Over the last few years, like when this load management started, you started hearing a lot more ACLs and this injury and that injury. Before that though, you never really, you know, caught that because guys were conditioned to play full 82 games.
Right. So do you think that the league should look into, you know, reducing the schedule, like the amount of games?
No, because people are still going to load manage anyway.
That is true.
It has to be a mindset change from the players.
But do you think it would, like, I know they're not going to do it because there's money, right? Yes. So there's no way they're going to move off of that 82, right? But do you think now with this, you know, 65 game threshold for awards and for all NBA, do you think that guys are still going to get hurt at this level, right?
I hope this is still a thing where these guys can, you know, it conditions them and they're ready to play longer and they don't break down as easy. But I don't know, man. It's, you can never tell with the bodies. These are big individuals, right? You look at a guy like Zion, he can never get right.
I know.
So with the NBA and stuff like that, it's really just got to be, how do we make sure our players are best equipped and best conditioned to play a full season, a full playoff? Because it hurts the ratings, which hurts the pockets of the owners and the pockets of the players at the end of the day too. So I think it's something the NBA mixed all up on stuff. So the NBA has to really, you know, nip in the bud. And I think having players play more might be the solution for that.
Yeah, and it's also because they don't practice. No. Right? The practicing is just nothing anymore. No, they don't do that. So I think that could be a problem as well. I just think, like, at this point, you're looking at other leagues, right? NFL playoffs, NHL, MLB playoffs, you don't see injuries left and right like this.
Well, so, in hockey, they hide it.
Yeah, they play through it too. But I just think, like, the stars, the biggest stars of your sport, they can't be out. They cannot be out this time of year. It does hurt the product. So hopefully we see less of this. I don't know what it requires. I don't know if it's what it's going to take. But I do think if you play more, you might not be injured as much because if you're seeing the Kings, for example, right? This team, a lot of their guys in like their rotation, like the 7 or 8 man rotation, they've played 70 plus games.
Yeah.
So I don't think that, like you said, I don't think load management works. I think that's just a myth at this point. Absolutely. We saw it work in Toronto with 2019 Kawhi. I get that. But overall, the overall grand scheme of things, I don't think it works. And a lot of teams, they tell their players, yeah, you're going to sit here, you're going to sit there. I just don't see it being successful for the long run, but hopefully guys will get healthy. And like, I don't want to see like the second round, third round finals with injuries.
Absolutely. Right? You're absolutely.
Cause even a couple of years ago, Giannis, remember he got hurt against Atlanta conference finals. We thought he wasn't going to play in the finals.
And he came back.
Right. And that was scary, but yeah, hopefully we don't get that moving forward. And now just to conclude our topic for around the association, we got the Fraud Watch. You guys know this already. This is your boy's favorite time of the day. We're going to go through some performances that were problematic. So the nominees for today's frauds are Donovan Mitchell. Let me break it down for you. Mitchell, last game in MSG, 11 points. Okay, not good. 5 for 18 from the field, 0 for 4 from the 3-point, 50% from the line. Yeah. Okay, he had 6 turnovers, and the second half was abysmal. 1 for 9, and he only had 2 points. Now we move to Julius Randle. Okay, he won the game. The Knicks won the game, but he didn't see the court in the fourth quarter. 7 points, 3 for 10 from the field. Also 0 for 4 from 3-point range, 33% from the line. Garbage. Benched. Okay, and then the third nominee, the Memphis Grizzlies. As a whole,
the whole team
for that terrible performance to start off at Crip, okay, in their last game. All right, so they were down 35-9 at the end of the first.
Yeah,
quarter.
That was bad. Horrible.
Honestly, horrible. That was a terrible start. They were down 53-37 at the end of the first half. So first quarter, all right, this is the breakdown as a team: 9 points, 3 for 23 from the field. 1 for 13 from 3-point range, 6 turnovers. And then you're looking at two guys specifically. Dylan Brooks, okay? Chatterbox. He likes to talk a lot. 7 points, okay? 3 for 13 from the field. 1 for 5, 3-point range. He didn't even do much, okay?
Yeah,
but he got ejected, obviously. We saw what he did to LeBron, a little nudge. All right, ejection. And the thing is, he didn't want to talk to the media after the L, even though he likes to talk all
and
the
then
time.
Yesterday, he's like, oh, the media has portrayed me as a villain. It's like, bruh.
Like, really? Bruh. Like, what are we doing here?
Come on, man. You started this.
And then Tyus Jones, no points, 0 for 7 from the field, 0 for 7 from the field. He had 0 for 5 from 3-point range and 2 turnovers. So out of the Memphis Grizzlies, Julius Randle and Donovan Mitchell, who is your fraud of the day?
Donovan Mitchell. That's why he was brought in. He was brought into the Cleveland Cavaliers to bring that playoff experience and to win games, right? And when it mattered the most. And these last two games in New York, he did not show up. And now the Cleveland Cavaliers are on the brink of elimination for a team that I thought was going to go to the second round and make, you know, go on a nice little run and kind of push the Bucks in the second round. Now they're getting pushed around by the New York Knicks and Jalen Brunson. And it looks like, we talked about last week, the Knicks made the right decision going for Jalen Brunson.
Yeah.
He's playing like an absolute stud right now. And I think Donovan Mitchell has come small in the playoffs countless times. And you wonder now, do the Cavs need to make another move this offseason
to bring in another
veteran player? Or do you keep him riding this core out? But yeah. You can't say Julius Randle because you know that's what he just is like that. Julius Randle is a streaky player.
I want to say
the Grizzlies,
Julius Randle, bro.
They sucked, right? Yeah. They played horrible. Ja came on strong
late.
They
didn't make it back.
They did, but Donovan Mitchell is the biggest fraud.
I think that it has to be Julius Randle here.
Okay.
I think it got
to
be Julius Randle.
Me,
you know why? Because he was in that poll with Siakam
most
as the tied
player.
For second most
overrated
player.
But that's what I'm saying. That should be he's already voted as an overrated player anyway.
Yeah, but I just think as a guy like that, right? Who he's able to, he's capable of being an all-star caliber guy, right? Yeah. If the Knicks want to actually do something these playoffs moving forward, he's got to show up. He cannot do what he just did. They have to pick up the slack for him. Obi Toppin, those guys, Hartenstein, they have to come off the bench and help him out. And then I see him pouting on the bench because he got benched. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at the stats. Look at the stats. They're right there. So he
men
has to
lie,
show
women
up.
Women lie, but numbers never lie.
They never
Bruce
lie.
Randall's numbers
so I get
bad.
I get what you're saying about Spida. He's gonna be. I think he's gonna be better. Okay, because we've seen him put up 30 and 40 in the playoffs.
Put up 70,
right? Yeah.
In a game.
So I think he'll be fine in Game 5, right? Okay. In Cleveland. But I'm looking at Julius Randle.
Okay.
Because if the Knicks want to actually have some serious aspirations in the Eastern Conference, he cannot do this. He cannot be a guy that folds in the playoffs. And we've seen it before, 2021.
Yep.
What happened against Atlanta? You know what I'm saying? True. So your fraud is Donovan Mitchell. My fraud of the day is Julius Randle. Stop pouting, bro. It's okay. Y'all won the game. 3-1, orange and blue skies. But that is all. That is all for today. Nor again, she will be back on Wednesday for more NBA talks here. Justin Pooney, thank you very much, sir, for being here. It's your boy, JGR. That is Jiggy J to you. I will see you next time.